This is Pete Fletzer. On this first part of a two-part episode with James Baney from the Resistance broadcast, we're going to talk about the effect of decanonizing the EU, the Kenobi series, and of course, make Solo 2 happen. So strap yourselves in, relax, and enjoy this journey around the galaxy. Welcome to episode number 33 of Around the Galaxy, the Star Wars fan talk show. I am your host, Pete Fletzer, and we are a part of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. So when you get a chance and you're done here and you need to find more podcasts, head on over to makingstarwars.net and you'll find shows like Tatooine Sons and Now This Is Podcasting and Tarkin's Top Shelf and The Sith List, all a bunch of really great shows, some Star Wars shows, literally a Star Wars show for every taste. There's another Star Wars show that I'm a really big fan of, and they're part of the Star Wars News Net, and that is a show called The Resistance Broadcast. And I've been very fortunate to now have had all three hosts. John Hoey was on a while ago, Lacey Gillerin was on a while ago, and this week I am honored and privileged to bring you James Baney. James and I got on the phone on a Sunday, what is it, 1986? We got on the interwebs, and we used Skype, and we had a conversation, and it just rolled into just a really great conversation about everything Star Wars that you can think of. And so we had to break it up into two parts. We ended up speaking for a little over 2 hours. And so we're going to bring you part one today, and we get into some interesting conversations about the Kenobi series. And of course, we explore their amazing work on Make Solo 2 happen. And he takes a really interesting perspective on the decanonization of the EU, which I think you'll enjoy his perspective. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ATGcast, where we get involved in the conversation at all times. And you can follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/aroundthegalaxy. We have a couple ways for you to get involved with us there. But speaking of getting involved, why don't I stop getting involved with this long, drawn-out introduction and just jump right in to James Baney from the Resistance broadcast. James, thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's fun to be on a different show for a change, to be honest.
Yeah, I've been following you on the Resistance broadcast for quite some time, and I think a lot of the people who listen to Around the Galaxy probably know your show, but maybe if you wouldn't mind, give us a quick little introduction as to who you are and talk a little bit about the Resistance broadcast.
All right. So I'm James Baney, and I have been a Star Wars fan for a long, long time, but really, honestly, since Disney bought it. That was like when things changed for me. As soon as I heard that news, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was part of another podcast a long time ago, and that's what kind of like fed my love for it. And we were real small potatoes, but you know, we just talked about anything that we just wanted to talk about. So there's like, you know, Marvel news, or there was like a Watchmen something, you know, like whatever. Like, yep. We would just talk about news and movies and comic books or whatever it was. And as that just kind of, you know, made its way down, like we just decided not to do it anymore. I still had this thing where I was like, man, you know, if there was one podcast that I could really like do full time, I would love to do Star Wars. And so I started kind of looking around for Star Wars podcasts, and I ran across the Resistance broadcast, which was the official podcast of one of my favorite sites, Star Wars News Net. And StarWarsNewsNet.com, I should say, because that's always confused with StarWarsNews.net, which is not a thing, but yeah, just to be clear.
Right.
I asked to, you know, they were like, hey, if you want to be a guest or you want to have anything to say, you know, come on or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then just over time, I just became a regular. It's just now I'm official.
Now you're the guy. Now, how long have you been on the show?
Oh, man. Shoot, that's a good question. I'm gonna toss it out now, and I'm gonna say either a year and a half or 2 years.
All right, so
something like
before Lacey, but after John, kind of time.
Definitely before Lacey, yeah, because I was instrumental in discovering and bringing Lacey onto the show. So,
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so
actually, me and John joined at the same time.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Okay. John was working for Star Wars Newsnet as a writer long before. I said long before. I don't know how long before, but before definitely he was on the podcast. And it was right around the same time. I think his first episode was either the one before me or the one after me. I can't remember, but it was for all intents and purposes, boom, same time.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Great. Cool. Yeah. It's one of the cool things for me about doing the show is I've gotten to talk to a bunch of my favorite podcasts, and that quickly became one when I got back into really sort of digging into the social media side of Star Wars about a year ago. I really, I'd always been into Star Wars.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and I stuck through it. I pushed through listening to you guys, and it's now it's a habit. But it's funny because it's I've now had all three of you on the show. So if people want the history of the Resistance broadcast, they should listen to Around the Galaxy, apparently.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. They're all different stories. Like, well, I founded the thing. And then like the next person, I'm pretty sure I founded the thing, like.
You guys do two shows a week. Do you find that challenging to find stuff to talk about, or?
You know what? So there's three of us, and we all really have like our specific roles. And I have wondered about that so many times. Like, are we ever just going to run out of things to talk about? Like, does it ever get to a point where it's like, hey, let's talk about balance and the Force? And it's like, how many times have we talked about that?
Yeah.
But I think there's always another angle to things, and things change so quickly in Star Wars because, we'll do an episode on like, does Star Wars have a villain problem? Like, people are starting to like Kylo Ren and they're thinking he could be redeemed. So who's the villain? And then you see a trailer with Palpatine in it and you're like, okay, so everything's changed. Let's go back. Yep. Let's re-talk about this. And it's crazy too, because it isn't just with the new stuff, now all of a sudden, you start looking at all the old movies and all the comics differently, and it changes so heavily that it's really easy for John, who mostly is the person that kind of the news is the news, it wrangles itself, but he puts it all together. But as far as like our discussions and things like that, he's ace to that, and always comes up with something really good where I'm like, oh my, yeah, that's a great question. More importantly too, we do a segment called Will of the Force, and we could have full discussions on any one of those specific topics, but he somehow figures out a way to do, 3 to 5 great questions a week that are like, will we see this character, or will this person do this? Will there be Pergil in blank? And it's like, who knows? I would like to see it or whatever. So yeah. Do we ever run out of things to talk about? The answer is surprisingly no, but I really don't see how that's possible.
Well, yeah. And I think the big plus that you guys have is that you have three really interesting perspectives usually on every topic. And so it, like you said, you can take a question and if you wanted to, you could probably go the full hour every week with one of the questions that come through. So you were saying that you really heavily got into Star Wars after the Disney takeover. Maybe tell me a little bit about your Star Wars history and interest.
So, okay. I clearly, am the age that I am. So I knew about Star Wars and I love Star Wars. And my brother, being 12 years older than I am, had a bunch of Star Wars toys that I was, gifted over the years, like hand-me-down. And so I had my fair share of the experience, but there definitely was a time, and I remember the special editions coming out and the prequels coming out, but I still was like, these are great and I love these and it's Star Wars and I'm excited to see the movies. But it wasn't like something that I really felt was part of my personality, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then all that stuff was done. Star Wars was kind of over. While it's still retained in the expanded universe, I never got into that stuff because I felt that there was too much. That's the easiest way to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to read a book because I felt like if I read the book, then it would be like, well, we all know what happened on blank. And I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about. And this, I just think this book would be better if I knew who these characters were and the, all these different species and, you know, how this book connects to these other stories and things. And it was just kind of, I don't want to say it was a bummer because I just didn't care. Right. It was like, oh, whatever, you know? Yeah. That stuff goes real deep.
Right. Oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
And then Disney bought it and I was excited because it was, oh, new Star Wars movies, like any person would be. But then there was this like message, you know, in there, which is we are officially saying that the only thing that matters are the movies and, you know, these specific things, which I hadn't watched any of the Clone Wars, but it was like, I can do that.
Right. It was a manageable amount of content.
Yes. I was like, so wait, so hold on. Before I've got like 3 years and the only thing I got to do is maybe read like these couple Darth Maul comics, watch this one TV show, and then maybe there'll be a couple books before the movie comes out. Yeah, let's do this. And just knowing that everything was going to connect, I said, this is my opportunity. I'm an adult. I can afford these things. Like I can read a book every here and there, whereas like before, you know, I don't even know if I could afford to read 10% of the stuff that was out there.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting thing because I think you are probably one of the first people that I've spoken to. Not that people have had a problem with the quote unquote disappearance of the Legends or the EU stuff, but the, but it actually became an impetus for you to get involved.
Yes. In fact, I am one of the people that absolutely praise the idea that they did that because I wouldn't be as invested in Star Wars as I am right now. And I imagine that's the case for many, many other people mm-hmm. who aren't necessarily running podcasts and aren't necessarily doing all the stuff that I'm doing. But at the same time, like, that's just a business decision that Disney made. You know, right. we think if we continue expanding on what is already there in all these books and novels and things and comics, then we will retain those fans. But if we wipe it clean and start over, it's more likely that we will gain more new fans than losing certain fans.
Right.
And right. It makes so much business sense to me. And I'm so glad that they did it because I know that there's a whole new generation of kids that feel like this is now going to belong to them because they've been there from the beginning, despite the fact that they absolutely were not there from the beginning.
Right. Right. Yep. Sort of the relaunch of the product versus the, versus trying to have to catch up and, you know, I think the other challenge I think that they avoided as a result of doing this is trying to meet the expectations of 30 plus years of books, you know, trying to do the original Thrawn series, for example, or do that justice. And you know, the storylines, even among the extended universe and Legends, they became so they weren't always lining up. So there were sort of contradictions within it, et cetera. So,
yeah, this is like a new studio being able to do like Batman or something. And then instead of going with a new story of Batman, they're trying to like recreate the 89 Batman, you know, right. It's like, right. It's not going to work. Like it's so much better for you to just say, hey, we're going to do our own Batman every time, you know. We're just going to bring in our own version of this, and he may pull references from other comics or movies or other things like that. Sure, you know, we got to be true to the character, but at the same time, like, it's definitely going to be our own Batman and Disney doing like, hey, we're going to make our own 7, 8, and 9, you know, we're going to make our own movies. We're going to make our own books and stories and retell the story of Luke Skywalker from our own perspective. And it's so much better than trying to do what was already there, in my opinion. I mean, I've heard the argument, but like, I just think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's one of the things as well, is that Both sides of the argument are legitimate.
Sure. I sometimes feel bad for that person. You know what I mean? The person that was like trying to speak up and trying to say, no, this isn't right. And then it just never happened for them. And then they're like, all right, well, I either give up or I, you know, start watching these, this new stuff. I don't know.
What kind of things on the horizon are you most excited about? There's just, I mean, it feels like it almost feels limitless, especially now that Kenobi's been added to the list of Disney Plus series, and which mm-hmm. means that there's going to be probably more after that. But so what of all the content that we know about over the next, you know, couple of years, 3 to 5 years, what's the thing that you're most focused on?
Ooh, yeah, it's a. I think I'm obviously interested in Rise of Skywalker just, because it, you know, it's the main line, you know, I like the idea of the TV shows because I think that potentially, I'll say this, might be a controversial thing, but like, I think that Star Wars Rebels is some of the best Star Wars ever told.
I don't disagree at all. So,
yeah. And I think part of that comes from being able to tell the long form story. Right. And I think people say the similar things about the Clone Wars, and far as like, oh, if it wasn't for the Clone Wars, we would have been stuck with an Anakin that, you know, did this and this and this. But now we get all the little pieces in the middle and it begins to all make sense. And it feels like it's part of the bigger story and everything. So I think that long form storytelling, while traditionally I do not like TV, I don't like watching TV. I think it's a big waste of time. There's something about Star Wars that I love so much that if it's out there, I'm absolutely going to eat it up. And I think at the end of it, because I love all Star Wars, I'm probably going to love every show. Mm-hmm. And when I watch something like, Rebels, while unfortunately I feel like I can't rewatch it very often because it's hours and hours and hours of stuff, right, that, you know, that's what I don't like about TV. I could watch all the movies 20 times before I could rewatch Rebels once, you know, and that bums me out. But at the end of the day, Rebels was great, and TV definitely has its place. So, I am excited for people in today's, streaming, binging, and you know, eat it up world, that TV, Star Wars TV could be better than Star Wars movies, which is just going to be a wild change that we're here along for the ride. Like, we get to see it firsthand. Will that happen? I don't know, but I think that could be a big change with, you know, 4 announced seasons, you know, with Mandalorian and Mandalorian season 2,
right,
along with Cassian Andor and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, so that's 4 confirmed seasons. But yeah, let's get to the point real quick. Like, I of all that, I'm probably the most excited for Cassian Andor's TV series, which I think is probably the least common answer.
I think you're right, and it's funny because I'll let you expand upon it, but when I heard about that was the, you know, and I'll also caveat this by saying, when I heard about the Solo movie, I had the same exact reaction. It was like, kind of like, mm-hmm. okay, that's cool. And then I loved Solo. I'm all in on your make Solo 2 happen stuff. I love that movie. And I kind of feel the same way about Cassie. I'm kind of like, but I have a feeling once it starts, I'm going to be all over it. Why are you so excited about it?
I think as far as the 4 movies that are out right now under Disney's property, if not Force Awakens, it's probably got to be Rogue One. I love Rogue One. I think there's something so special and magical about telling that story, which was exactly that. I think in a weird way, maybe I like root for the underdog or something. Like, I'm the guy that like loves Resistance, you know, and everybody else is kind of like, yeah, but you know, it's whatever. It's a good show. I like it. And I'm like, man, I really like it, you know? And then we got the solo thing too. Like, people were saying they weren't asking for it. And people, I don't think they really had that opinion yet when Rogue One was coming out. But I think that if another show was announced that was like, it's about, four or five characters you've never heard of, and they're going to steal the plans to the Death Star, I think people would be like, why? Like, right. Why are you making that show?
Yep.
And then you see what they do with it, and it's so great. And I love the character of Cassian Andor. Like, he was awesome. I even actually considered, I knew it was going to happen, but I threw it out there as a name for my son when he was being born. I was like, hey, if anybody picks up on that, Cassian, I'll throw that out there. It didn't go over well.
No, I imagine that.
But then to me, having seen all that happen, they announce a show that nobody knows anything, or a movie that nobody knows anything about, and then it comes out, and I just like ate it up so much, and I loved everything around it, and then Rebels as well, all that stuff in that era. To say that they're going to come back, they're going to bring back probably my favorite character from that movie and give him his own series, I'm like, yes. Yeah. Are you freaking kidding me? That's the best possible news you could have given me. Like, you could taken probably one of my favorite Star Wars movies, picked out my favorite character, and told me that you were going to expand on him and give him his own series. Like, that just is phenomenal to me. And I think every time they describe it, it's like, I mean, we're not doing video, but like, I freak out. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what it needs to be. Yes, you're 100% nailing it. Like, the bringing in the worker, people who worked on The Americans and stuff. And I'm like, yep. Yes, like spy, thriller, action, all that stuff. That's exactly what I want. And it's funny too, because like, I think I said earlier, that's probably the least common answer. And then probably one of the projects that I'm the least interested is the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, which is probably everybody's most anticipated, or it's definitely up there. And I don't know. It's like, it's weird. I guess I'm rooting for the underdog, but I just think it's going to be the Cassian show is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think you're right about they're definitely bringing in all the right people and they're doing the right things. And I think between where we expect the Cassian show to go and what we know about The Mandalorian, it almost feels like not only is Disney taking advantage of this long form format to tell some great stories, but they're also kind of going in directions that are very specific that may or may not work in a major film that Star Wars that needs to appeal to everybody, right? You can be a little bit darker on a TV series that's aimed at a particular piece of the audience. Whereas if you put a Star Wars logo on something, I think it needs to appeal to the 7-year-olds and the 67-year-olds. I'm torn on the Kenobi thing. Part of me wants to be super excited about it, and part of me just, I like not knowing what he did for all those years. I imagine he just sat in his hut and watched Luke, with some macro binoculars from afar. But so why are you not as excited? Clearly you're going to watch it. You'll probably love it like everybody else will, but
sure.
At this moment, what's not charging you up about it?
So this is not a good way to get people to listen to our show.
but we can skip it if you like, but I'm just curious because I'm also not like, I'm going to love it, but I'm not like counting down the days like I am for Mandalorian and for Rise of Skywalker.
So we did our live panel at Celebration, and we opened it up to audience questions. And one of the questions that I got was, why do you hate Kenobi? And and I was like, it's not that I hate him, and I was just like, I used words that I felt was being very specific, like it was the least damage to what I was trying to say. Things like overrated, and it's like boo, like across the whole room, and I'm like, I don't know how to like say it. But I mean, in general, Kenobi's no pun intended, has never really been one of my favorite characters. Because when I'm picking out a character that is favorite, I usually try to look, for someone that like, I almost like I want to be exactly like, and there's so much about Kenobi that I see that's like failure after failure. And that's not bad. I mean, like I like Anakin and he's failure after failure after failure, you know? Yep. So it's not necessarily like a bad thing, but the fandom around Kenobi has always surprised me because I'm like, I don't get why everybody likes this character so much. But the biggest thing for me, and I'll try to sum it up as quick as I can, is, and you almost kind of said it too, like, I really think the point was that he went into exile and he didn't do anything for those 19 years. Right. And when people describe what they want in a Kenobi show, I always listen to it and I'm waiting to hear somebody say something that I'm like, there you go. Yeah. That makes sense. But it's always one of two things, generally, very loosely, but generally, it's always either a very slow burn, thought-provoking, meditative, you know, more force training, dealing with his issues and stuff. And I'm like, that it's going to be a long time before that Star Wars shows its face. Right. Like right now, that isn't Star Wars yet. It can be like in a book or something, if they wanted to go into that. But I mean, you're talking mainline Ewan McGregor live action Star Wars,
right?
And it's got to feel like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. The other thing that people always say is they say there's nothing said that he had to stay on Tatooine, or you know, that he didn't go on these adventures and things. And I'm like, well, you're right, but I don't know. That feels weird to me. It feels like his mission was to watch over this boy. And I don't know, like he left and he did other things and maybe it's in service of protecting him. But when I watch A New Hope, I see a man that's been in the desert for 19 years, not a person that, you know, was jumping on a freighter and flying to some planets and going on big lightsaber battles and stuff like,
I agree.
How I feel like if they wanted to make this show a regular Star Wars show like Solo or like The Mandalorian, you're going to have a bunch of like fighting and action scenes and things.
Yep.
I know I'm such a talker, man. I feel like I just go on and on and on, but
luckily you're on a podcast that works. Well.
That's true. Yeah. I think I chose my line of work properly. The final thing that drives me crazy is we have this thing called the Make Solo 2 campaign, you know, and what kind of drives me nuts about fans right now, not that anybody, you know, is wrong in what they love, but from my perspective, I'm like, what makes Star Wars Star Wars? And I'm like, all right, well, it's, you know, blasters and smugglers and bounty hunters and action adventure and space travel and all these things that when people hear all that stuff and they announce a movie called Solo and they're like, yeah, it's like Han Solo and Chewie, like two dudes, buddy cops, like flying around the galaxy, doing whatever they want, drinking, smuggling, women, blasters, bounty hunters, all that stuff. And then the fans go, I don't want that. Why do I want that? We don't want, nobody asked for that. I don't want that. And then they're like, and then I'm like, all right, well, geez, all right, maybe you guys could come up with something better. What do you want? And they're like, you know, that period of time where Kenobi's like doing nothing in the desert for 19 years. Yeah. That's what I want. Why won't they give us that? That's what we need. That's what we want. And I'm like, why do you want that? That's the worst period. I've likened it to somebody telling me that they're going to do a Luke Skywalker show because they feel like there's a lot of stories they could tell. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, that period between 6 and 7, there's probably like lots of places that he went. And they're like, hold on. No. We're talking about Luke Skywalker from age 5 to 18, you know, when he was in the desert doing chores and stuff. And I'm like, why do you want to make that show? That makes no sense. You know, make Solo 2 happen. That's what I want, that Star Wars.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but now that you said it, I think if depending on how the licensing goes, you know, we might be 5 years away from the Luke Skywalker Chronicles. And it's just like this teenage boy whining and getting his power converters and hanging out with with Biggs and yeah, like the Disney kids version.
Look, it's there. And when people tell the story, they're going to tell the story in an interesting way, because they're not going to tell a story about something that's just dumb. Right. But I think what sometimes makes a story of an individual special is because they didn't do anything and then the life became special.
Yeah.
Right. To go back and revisit that and be like, oh no, they were doing all sorts of crazy stuff before that. Well, then it doesn't mean A New Hope has less value, but I mean, it doesn't, right. You know, I'm going to find value in it because I'm a Star Wars fan. I find that making sense of the flaws and justifying the flaws in things honestly makes it more fun. So yeah, I don't know. That's, you know.
Yeah, I'll let one last thing to that, because to me, when the prequels came out, and we had the Ewan Kenobi, and we had the Alec Guinness Kenobi, what became really cool in my headcanon, and I think maybe that's why I'm a little bit apprehensive, because I don't want my headcanon to go away, but when... I'm going to get really geeky and nerdy here, but it is a Star Wars podcast, so I guess I can do that.
What are we doing here?
But when he finds Luke after he's attacked, and Luke says to him, he claims to the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that I put the two together, and the look on Alec Guinness's face to me is this sudden realization that he knows that this is where it all ends for him. Like, he's been waiting for 19 years for this moment. And I don't know what he knew up to that moment. And that's what this series is going to show us. And I don't know if I need to know it, but to me, it's the look on his face is very much like, okay, now this is where it ends. This is that next part of the journey. And if, you know, there's the certain point of view story, Master and Apprentice with Qui-Gon meeting. And I think that's cool. But to your point, like, it's a good story, but I don't know if it's a good show, you know? And so
they're going to make it a good show.
Yeah. You know, oh, no doubt.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I guess you can pull, I don't want to be rehashing what Lacey and John talked about this past week that I listened, but it was, you know, there's certain lines that you can pull from, like, you know, that wizard's just a crazy old man and things like that. So there will be something. The question is how much action will it be, and how can they do it and still maintain that?
You know, it's funny though, and I don't mean to interrupt, but that is another like small little trope about people justifying the Obi-Wan shows. They're like, there's so much you could do. How did he get the name Ben? You know? and like, why do people call him a wizard? And I'm like, okay. I mean, I know you can pull from that, but still I'm like, that's your base. That's like your starting point. You're like, right. All right, we've got basically nothing. Where are we going to start for? Well, we got to figure out, we got to tell people the untold story of why people call him a wizard. Like, right. do you need to tell me that? I mean, he has claimed, or, you know, or whatever, has probably pulled off a couple things here and there, little magic trick, forcey stuff. That's probably the reason. Like, I don't need to know that stuff. And there's an entire galaxy of stories and adventures that we could go on. And it sometimes makes me feel like fans are being restrictive. But then again, I'm excited because they're making Cassian, who's one of my favorite characters. And, you know, they're also making a show for everybody else's favorite character.
Right. So, for that same reason, it's totally.
Yeah. Legit.
And like you said, it'll be very well done. And, you know, the other thing I think that I'm clinging to, maybe the wrong word, but one of the things that I'm thinking of as they are building out this story is, it can be the Kenobi story, but he's going to be surrounded by, you know, eight other interesting characters. And so maybe, I don't know, but either way, yeah, I think this, I've beaten this horse to death. Let's shift gears a little bit to make Solo 2 happen. Cause you guys, when John was on the show, it was just after the big explosive hashtag. What's been going on with that since? It looks like it's been a continued, I still see it all the time in my Twitter feed. And just sort of maybe what's your perspective on it, and what do you think is going to happen?
So if anybody doesn't know, we created the hashtag just to see if we could gain some traction and get a little bit of a fan collective. Like, you know, for a weird period of time, it almost felt like Solo was in a position where it was almost cool to not like the movie. And there was a whole bunch of fans that felt like they're like, well, I actually like Solo, you know? And we kind of wanted to make them not feel so bad about that. And then on top of that, there was a whole other group of fans that for whatever reason just didn't see it. And everybody was like, oh, you know, nobody liked that movie. And we were like, yeah, nobody saw that movie. Right. And so now if you were to take everybody who went and saw The Force Awakens, right, or Rogue One, and you showed Solo to all those people, they probably would have liked it just as much. Right. And we found that to be more and more the case as time goes on. We had a specific day where it was very successful. We said we're doing Make Solo 2 Happen Day, so tweet your favorite moments and stuff, and it just kind of caught on. Very, very cool. But from that point on, it has continued to be a thing because more and more we see people that finally, for whatever reason, like almost people that aren't even like regular Star Wars fans, they just are on Twitter and they're like, finally saw that Solo movie. It's pretty good.
Yep.
And then like, I don't know, you can like search for the word Solo, not that we're doing this, but like we've kind of created a group of people that are regularly looking for this stuff because they felt like there was kind of a home for them, you know, which was the Make Solo 2 Happen campaign. So they're constantly being like, oh man, did you see this? This guy said this. So they retweet it, you know, and they put the hashtag, or they tell the guy, yeah, you're not the only one. And then that person's like, oh, cool. And they've kind of, you know, the fans have kind of made it like a thing that's like a reoccurring thing. And now we're starting to see people that, like specifically, John Kasdan, you know, he's right. A writer on the movie and he's the son of Lawrence Kasdan. And every once in a while he will use the term Make Solo 2 Happen just like it's the name of the movie. Like, he's like, I can't wait to Make Solo 2 Happen, because I had all these great stories and stuff. And we're like, yes, like, yes, I love that our hashtag has become kind of the vernacular for whenever that ultimately happens. That's how we're kind of referring to that property, whether it's a TV show or a movie or just like any sort of like bigger continuation of the characters. I think ideally we want to see the TV show of just Han and Chewie, like give right. Alden Ehrenreich and Yonah Sutomo their place. I think that is it, but we need a good, easy name to remember, which is Solo 2, like make it happen. We want to see a sequel. We want to see the story continued. So it's not even necessarily about the film. It's more about just the idea of not falling victim to fandom in general, you know, because we think that a lot of people really like that movie, and it just sucks that it kind of ended up in the place that it did.
Yeah. Do you think what do you think the prospects are of seeing that expansion, whether it's a show or a movie or anything, especially with the Skywalker saga ending?
Yeah,
that increases the chances or decreases it?
I think that it increases it because the ideal period has no Skywalkers in it. So I think they still have a universe, or I should say a galaxy, connected to familiar things without having to continue to tell stories about the Skywalkers.
Right.
And that can be through the Solos, you know, mine or, you know, view. And do I think it's going to happen? The thing about it is they know they have something great. Right. And when they worked with Rian Johnson, they knew they had something great and they delivered his movies. And no matter the result, they still said, yeah, but we love that movie.
Right.
And we think he's awesome and we want to continue working with him. And so that gives me a lot of hope on them putting together Solo and going, we think we have something great here. And they put it out. And despite what the fans said, or despite what the reaction to it was, they still say, yeah, but we want to work with Ron Howard. You know what I mean? Yeah. We want to work with the Kasdans again. We want to work with Alden and Jonas and, you know, a slew of other characters because, you know, we want to see Darth Maul, and we created this character of Kira, and we have so many plans with it. Why would we not want to use Emilia Clarke? You know, it just, all that stuff just put together, I go, I just don't understand why they wouldn't want to move forward with this. So many companies say, you know, we do things not because we follow what we think people want, but we do it because we think it's good, and we deliver what people don't know they actually do want. And I think that was Solo, because nobody was asking for it. They gave it to us. It was great. And now we're saying we don't want it again. It's weird. I don't know.
My gut tells me that they're just, that may be series number 4 or 5.
I don't doubt that. Yeah.
I think they're kind of, I think they want to distance themselves a little, like, you know, this is, they're finally talking about the prequels again. Mm-hmm. It took Disney a bunch of years to make sure that the water was warm enough to get back to the prequels, and that, you know, cause I always took, and maybe I'm just, maybe it's just me, but I took the very first line of The Force Awakens, the "this will begin to set things right," as sort of a backhanded sort of comment that, yeah, we all know the prequels weren't what we wanted for whatever reason. I've since become Ken Napsok calls it a reformed prequelist, and I certainly am that as well. But I think they want to sort of leave a little bit of breathing room for the people that legitimately didn't like Solo, and just to kind of separate themselves. But I do think it'll come back, because to me, it's like, if you're going to do The Mandalorian, which I think is going to be a little bit dark, I think the great thing about Solo, even to the novels, even the old EU novels, he's always been, and not just because it's Harrison Ford, but almost at Indiana Jones, there's humor, there's action, there's adventure, and it lends itself perfectly to a series, right?
Yes. So. Everybody's like, oh, Indiana Jones is great. And like, they even praise like young Indiana Jones and stuff. It's like, they want a show where like every episode is like a new adventure. And I'm like, Solo, like it's right there. It's right in front of you. I just don't get what's going on. That's the thing. We kind of talked about that Obi-Wan Kenobi thing earlier. I feel like there's almost a piece of me that says like, maybe if he was going on adventures and doing these other things, it potentially could hurt A New Hope, because it kind of changes how I see that.
Right.
But when I see Solo went on all these crazy adventures and things, that just makes A New Hope better for me. I'm like, I know who this guy is, you know?
Yep. Totally. That's a great point.
I know where he's been. I know what he's been up to. He is a crazy guy, you know, that they just managed to somehow get paired up with. And, I love that. I don't know. I have like weird opinions on retcon and stuff too. Like I really, really like it when they come up with something later that makes the original stuff better. Because I never see that as like a flaw, but people say, they changed it. And I'm like, change is a bad way to look at it. Telling more of what really happened in the first place is more the way that I would say it. And I understand that some people are like, well, I've had it in my head that this was the case for a very long time, you know?
Yep.
So that's hard to part with, but, I really like it, when we get like a book or something that will say something that changes something about the movie. Usually, because I feel like when they do that stuff, they actually make it better.
Yeah, and I also think that, and again, the big challenge, and I feel like I've said this on my show 100 times, so I'm not going to bore everybody with it, but it's that concept that just because they do that deeper backstory in a comic or a book or a TV show, it doesn't need to necessarily, it can be in the movies, but it doesn't need to be, it's not going to be as obvious. I think that the best the best example of a nod to the quote-unquote deeper fans was Rogue One's references to General Syndulla and the ghost appearing. That was there for the people who loved Rebels, but they didn't make a big deal about it. Those of us who saw it and knew it freaked out, and those of us who, or those who didn't know it, didn't notice it. So, so those kind of stories, you can definitely put them out there, and they won't change the story for my dad, who probably won't watch it. But for me, when I, to your point, I would love to imagine how you would look at that introduction of Chewie and Obi-Wan at the bar. All of a sudden you're like, I know that Wookiee. He did crazy stuff with Han. So
Like if it, like for whatever reason, like you maybe latched on to watching Solo because you heard good about it, but you've never watched the Star Wars movies before, you know, and someone's like, well, you don't actually need to watch them. You just meet the characters for the first time in the show. That's Han, that's Chewie, get to know them. And then you're like, oh, these are really fun. Maybe I will watch the movies. So you watch A New Hope and it's like, whoa,
yeah,
you know, yep. This is crazy.
But it's all the different entry points. No, I was just going to say, it's all about the different entry points. And as long as they're, you know, I was just talking to Alex Damon the other night, and we were talking about Resistance. And this is slightly a different avenue, the same thing we were just talking about, and how people feel like Resistance started really slow and picked up pace. And even Rebels started a little slow. But his point that I hadn't thought about was, it's designed for people who've never seen Star Wars. It's designed for, in this case, like my 7-year-old son, to learn about Star Wars. You can't just jump in with all the assumptions that you and I have when we watch it. You have to build that. And that's really great. And so I think, to your point, if you do a Solo TV series, you do kind of have to start it with the assumption that nobody's seen the movies before.
Yeah. Almost identical to what they're going to do with The Mandalorian. Or not we'd seen the character of The Mandalorian before, they're going to start the show with like, hey, I'm a bounty hunter and I do this thing and I go to this place and I get the thing. And, you know, like they're going to explain it to you. They're going to walk it through you just because you don't start the first episode just assuming everybody knows everything. You know, you just don't do that. It's hard to even do that when you think about like the third movie of a trilogy, you know?
Right.
Sometimes I feel like they actually are still trying to write it for someone who just happens to be like, oh, I haven't seen the first two, but I'm going to go with my family.
Yep.
You know, you got to think there's this weird line of like, well, we want to just get to the point because we assume you understand what Star Wars is, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to have that entry point, man. Yeah, I've thought of so many things in this podcast while talking to you that I want to talk about that. I don't know how long we go or how we're running on time, but
we can, man, go as long
so
as
many
you
things.
Like.
I feel like I just keep going and keep going.
Yeah. Well, hey, John Hobie was a two-parter. So if we keep going, we keep going.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for part one of this interview with James Baney. Make sure to tune in tomorrow to hear about all those things that James was thinking about and he wants to talk about. We're going to get to all of it. Thank you so much for listening. If you had fun, please subscribe, like, share, rate us at 5 stars, and review it. If you really liked it, please feel free to head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/aroundthegalaxy. We're also excited to let you know that we have Around the Galaxy swag at tpublic.com/user/aroundthegalaxy. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ATGcast. And if you or someone you know would make a great guest, please drop us a line. So until next time, this has been Pete Fletzer, and we'll see you for our next trip around the galaxy. Around the Galaxy is copyright 2019 Pete in the Seat Studios. Our music is brought to us by Apollo's Ghost, whose music is available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find music.